To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Indeed so. It's kind of interesting. In the first part of the show, I think you're seeing why people like the late Dr. Mack took abductees seriously. These are pretty straight-on, real-sounding, calm, but, you know, as you listen to these people, I mean, they sound like they really had this experience. They had contact with aliens. So many of them are claiming it, and so many of them don't sound nutty that it led people like Dr. Mack into wondering what it was all about. And they, and they're pretty smart people, not just the late Dr. Mack, but many others, they're not dummies, and they believe it's really going on, that we really are being visited. If you just tuned in, we have open lines with a special line, the so-called first-time caller line, reserved away for anybody who's had actual physical alien contact. And that's naturally led to, I guess, hearing from a lot of alleged abductees. And we are, so far, and some pretty interesting ones at that. So that line set aside especially for people who have had actual physical contact. And the number is area code 775-727-1222. Other than that, it's open lines. And back now to Victor. I believe Victor is correct, isn't it?
Yes.
Victor, you were going through, I recall, walls and...
Doorways.
Doorways and all kinds of things, just right invisibly as though they were... Tell me, did you when you went through something solid, was there any sense at all?
No, not at all.
And toward... Did you say the garage...
Yes, I was in the garage, and when I closed my eyes, before I went through the door, I said, "Well, this is where it's going to happen, and I'm going to close my eyes." And,
I would too. If you're headed toward a door, there's only two possibilities: one, you go through it, not the most likely, and the other, it hurts.
Yeah. Well, when I got there, you know, I got a little braver, and you know, I opened my eyes, you know, peeking through my eyelashes, and I saw silhouettes and stuff, and then I closed them again. And then after a while, I just decided, you know, what the heck, you know, I'm feeling good. Why not just open them up and see what's going on?
And then?
And I saw this alien with, he wasn't a typical gray like the one I saw before. He had wrinkled brown skin, which, of course, I've seen many a time, heard of about many times on the Internet. If you look hard enough, you'll find references to them. And he had white slanted eyes, and he sort of floated from my right side to my left side, and he was looking down at me, and I was wondering, well, why the heck am I seeing this? Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was right when I thought that, and, you know, this contrasts the unusual calmness with him looking straight in my face. He turned, and he looked right into my face, and he gave me the most, you know, incredibly evil smile, you know, you could possibly imagine. It looked almost like he was a demon or something. And, you know, all of a sudden, this huge feeling of fear came over me, and it was just like this white haze just kind of just took over my vision, and without... You know, losing consciousness. Mind you, I felt absolutely, totally awake this whole time.
Uh-huh.
It just faded away like into a movie, and I was back in my bed. And you know,
how do you know it wasn't a dream?
Well, because you know, lots of the stuff that happened to me when I had this experience, I didn't know about that. This was what was, you know, what was supposed to happen to me. You know, when it happened, you know, it was later. And in fact, the very next day, you know, I was reading what was the book, Secret Life by David Jacobs, and it was almost a sign that they wanted me to know that this was what was going on. And in that book, it just describes just about everything.
All right, but an alternate explanation for what happened to you could be that you were reading that book and that it was on your mind and that you really did have a dream or a nightmare or whatever you want to call it. But well, that book could have, you admit you were reading that book, so it could have been on your mind. And so I ask again, how do you know it wasn't a dream?
Well, because, you know, I've had the other experience and this one, and, you know, I was totally awake.
So you've been abducted previously?
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to take too much time on the phone call, but, you know, anyway, just, you know, I only read the introduction of
that's all it would take.
That book before.
All right, buddy. Listen, thank you very much for the call, but I'm going to bring that one up as possibly a suggestive influence, even if all you read was the introduction. Believe me, that would be enough to put it on your mind. So I don't know about that one. I believe that he believes what he experienced. I'm just saying that there's a distinct possibility that it was on his mind. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good evening, morning, or whatever.
Good morning to you, Art. Mike calling from Galloway Township, New Jersey, listening to you on 77 WABC out of New York.
My old hometown station. Yes.
I got a weird story. I'm a police officer first. Let me blow my siren for you.
Oh.
That'll keep all the drunks off the road.
My God, you did.
Galloway Township is kind of a rural area. We're on the outside of Atlantic City.
Yes.
And we were dispatched. This is going back in October, and I've been trying to call you. I'm glad I got through. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Jersey Devil. It's like an old wives' tale.
Oh, I absolutely have, yes.
I've never encountered it myself, but back in October, early part of the month, around midnight, we got dispatched to a motor vehicle accident on Route 9, which kind of connects to Garden State Parkway, and it's kind of like a loop around to Atlantic City.
Yes, sir.
And we get out there, and the car is in the middle of the road. It's a Nissan Altima, and it's got significant front-end damage. The driver's kind of dazed, him and his wife, they're in Atlantic City, and they thought they had hit a deer, but the damage to the car is not conducive with a deer. Me and the other officer that responded, we looked, we could not find a deer, and while we're there, and I'm a cop for like 23 years, I just got the foreboding that like I'm being watched,
right?
And I could swear that I heard like a grunting noise.
Yeah.
But the damage to the car was significant. We towed it away. It went on a flatbed.
Well, was it in your estimation like it had hit something biological?
It looked
like
it hit a pole, like a fixed object.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if a car hits a deer, you normally see, like, deer fur on the car, and maybe it rolls up and over the hood or cracks the quarter panel or something like this.
Sure.
But this looked like it went right into a pole, and the guy said, you know, he didn't see anything. He just remembers hitting something.
Mm-hmm.
And the two odd things... he was going north on Route 9, but yet the car was almost facing the southbound as if it, like, pivoted around whatever it hit. And the next day, the officer and I that investigated, we went out in the earlier part of the shift before the sun was set, and we searched the area. We couldn't find anything, but I swear, as we checked the sides of the road, like the tree line off of Route 9 going into the tree line, I swear it looked almost like ostrich prints. I mean, we're looking at him going, this is too big. This is not a deer print, and it's not a man's print. It's like an ostrich, and that's not indicative to this area of South Jersey. So, you know, we started talking back at the station that this might have been the Jersey Devil. We never saw anything. But
wait a minute. You actually told the station you thought it might be the Jersey Devil? Now, they must have gotten a kick out of that.
Yeah, when we were spitballing back in headquarters, you know, later, we're like, what did this guy hit? He didn't hit a deer.
No, obviously. Now, let me slow you down a little bit and so that I understand. The way I'm listening to what you're saying, it going down a highway, there couldn't be a tree. So whatever it was that was hit had to be so stationary that it would just cause
it. So large, you know, it was just there in the road. Yeah, he was right in the road. It's a clear stretch. Speed limit's 50 miles an hour. It's one lane in each direction. It's a two-lane road. It's not lit because it's kind of rural. It's like a cut around the parkway. And whatever he hit significant enough to pivot the car around.
How fast do you figure the car was going?
we didn't quiz him. We didn't have, there was slight skid marks. I would probably say he was doing 50, 45, 50. You know, we didn't do a workup. There was no fatality.
Whatever was hit should have been real dead.
Oh, yeah. If it was a deer, yeah, that's why we went back the next day. If he hit something, it would have been thrown to the side of the road. There would have been enough trees to stop it from going too far into the wood line, but we didn't see anything except those, like, ostrich-sized footprints, and we didn't follow it into the Pine Barrens, but I'm just like, it was too strange.
So you reported it as possibly the Jersey Devil. Have you heard the end of this yet?
Well, this was back in October. There was no follow-up. You know, I never heard from insurance companies or whatever, but...
I see. You know. No, I meant your fellow officers. I mean, that would have gotten there. Certainly would have...
Well, I tell you, when we drive down that stretch road, everybody always says, you know, we're going a little slower shining the spotlights because it's just... And you're out in the middle of nowhere. But I said that night, as we're hooking up the car, taking it away, I'm getting a sense, you know, that something's watching me. You know, you just get that sixth sense as a cop that you're not alone out here. And I'm just like, this was too strange because I couldn't figure out what he hit.
Well,
you know, if there was a deer, it would have been there.
Yeah, no, I've got it. All right, officer, thank you very much. There's a book about odd happenings in Jersey, and I'm trying to think of Weird New Jersey or something like that. We keep it down at the radio station, and I just sit and glance through it every now and then. There are, believe it or not, a lot of weird things that go on in New Jersey. So the Jersey Devil or something, what do you suppose was, whatever it was, those must have been some legs. That's all I can say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's Nancy from Central Massachusetts.
Hello, Nancy.
Yeah, I was calling about these weather cycles that keep rolling in here.
Boy, there's some buttes, aren't they?
Oh, they sure are. Like tonight, you know, they said we were going to have freezing rain. And the temperature is now 42 degrees. The barometer is still dropping.
Hmm.
And, you know, it seems kind of strange that we have these asteroids that go by and these sun flares, and that now the temperature is so warm... And yet, now they're talking about snow again in the middle of the week.
Well, Hannah, our weather patterns are changing. That's all there is to it. And the sooner we recognize that and begin to take steps to mitigate what otherwise might occur, the better. They definitely are changing. You see, we spend all our time arguing about whether or not man's hand is involved. What's the diff? You know, if it's really changing, then pay attention to that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How are you doing this evening, Art?
Quite well, sir.
Blessing to you and Happy New Year to you and your wife, Ramona.
Thank you. Same to you.
Mine is also about alien contact.
Oh.
But it's more extensive than your previous callers because I've had these contacts since I was 5 years old. I'm now 59. Raised and born in Los Angeles. I have a top secret clearance with the U.S. government through the Army in the field of cryptography, which I acquired in 68 through 70. And I spent my tour of duty in South Korea with the 7th Division in Camp Casey, and that's where I was informed by a lieutenant colonel that the U.S. government has knowledge of these contacts because I was told that I had a red file on myself.
All right, let's slow down.
Okay.
Who informed you that the U.S. government had official contact?
There was a lieutenant colonel that was active in the 7th Division during the period of 69-70 when I was on tour there.
Under what circumstances would he tell you something like that? I mean,
well, there was a situation that was going on at that time in South Korea that many of the Americans that were at Camp David was aware of. There was a high racial tension at that particular time because of what was happening in the United States.
Right.
And I was involved with a particular group of people that was involved in various investigations.
Okay.
Long story short was that this gentleman who had contacted me very secretly had informed me that there were individuals on the base at the time that felt that my knowledge of certain things was injurious to them and that I was in danger. He informed me that the U.S. government was not going to allow anything to happen to me because I had a red file on me. That's the first time that I ever had access to that kind of information. what he did to confirm and verify that he was valid, there were things that he told me in a two-hour secret meeting that occurred within the livelihoods and the life of my family members that only could have been known by just family members. It's almost as if there was a taping device in the house or on the phone.
They knew things.
Oh, yeah, very, okay. Very, very.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so you got to get
the
bottom line.
Now, what transpired after that is that he informed me that they knew that I had had contacts for a very long time in my life. Now, I'm going to go beyond that. Giving information to verify that you're talking to someone who's actually had it. I ran for mayor of Gardena in Los Angeles in 2001, and people can look on the internet
find out who you are by that means. Okay, so
exactly. Okay, so now what I want to tell you is this: is that I've had contact with several different species, energy forms, humanoid forms, bipedals that are not human-looking.
Okay, if you've had all this contact, then I ask you the standard questions. Do you have any idea what their motives are?
I do.
Why they're... Okay, good. Go ahead. I want to know. What?
Okay, number one is that 99.9% of those that are now visiting the Earth are not hostile. They are here because the Earth is in a great difficult time. The shield of the Earth is starting to disintegrate. They're in the process of trying to rejuvenate that. But beyond that, these species have told me that mankind is about to annihilate itself in nuclear war, that biogenetic experimentation has been initiated so that there would be a preservation of the human consciousness and the gene.
Oh, my God.
Mixed with alien life forms that would exist elsewhere.
So, in other words, we're about to blow ourselves to smithereens. They're taking samples of us
That's
to
correct.
Ensure that some humanity is
That's correct.
Saved, like so many endangered species.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
And the you know, everybody makes the joke about the little green men that come from Mars.
Yes.
Yeah, well, they exist, but they don't come from Mars. They're about 3 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
I am not the only one on the planet. As a matter of fact, there are many of your listeners that will call in and verify this, that they are one of the major entities at the moment initiating biogenetic experimentation, and I was shown a female hybrid human mixed with their particular alien a DNA. This female was about 13 or 14 years old. She was about 4 feet high. She had the power of levitation. She had pure white hair. That made it strange. Green epidermis, pure white hair, pure white teeth. But she had the physiognomy of one of my daughters. And very, very beautiful, highly intelligent, and very telepathic. Mankind is being visited by our brothers and sisters that want to help us. Also, what I need to tell you, which is very dire, I was shown in this craft with these smaller green entities a very large screen. It looked like a movie screen. I was shown Los Angeles, New York, and Washington being struck by nuclear weapons. I also was shown an asteroid that was going to hit the Earth. It was going to come across the United States at nighttime from east to west. A large portion falls off somewhere near Wyoming, and the largest portion falls off just east of the Big Island of Hawaii, which will cause a tidal wave at night several miles high, striking and destroying the San Francisco Bay Area. And all that was left is when the water receded was the northern portion of the Golden Gate Bridge.
God.
Yeah.
You've given us an awful lot to chew on.
I was also to tell you this. You are, this year, 2005, you and your wife, there's this evolvement that you have made in the last few years. You are now spiritually on the level for contact, and the woman who spoke about the cat that is coming to you, the tomcat that's coming to you, I want to let you know something, is that through this particular entity that's coming, It's going to heighten your contact level. And when you are contacted...
All right, listen, you hold on.
Okay.
You hold on.
Okay.
We've got a break coming up. I don't know. I don't know if I bargained for all of this tonight. I'm getting far more than I bargained for already. That's this program, though. Coast to Coast AM. From the high desert in the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell. Stay right where you are.
Call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? We're getting definitely a more than bargain for show so far. We've got a special line opened up for those who have had actual physical contact with aliens, one way or the other. And, boy, we've been getting our money's worth. Anyway, if you'll stay right where you are, we have only just begun. So if I've got this straight, biological experiments to save just a little bit of mankind because of the dire things that are about to happen. And then I suppose the planet to be populated by, I don't know, some what, sir, would you say? Some sort of half and halves?
No, not the Earth. The destruction that I saw that will actually start in the Middle East was so horrific that the Earth would not be a place that any life form would inhabit.
Not good for man or beast, huh?
Yeah, for a long period of time. However, I was shown a very huge fleet, three-tiered, copper-colored, saucer-shaped vessels that were coming into the areas of the Earth that had not been under nuclear attack, and people were boarding those particular vessels. I know for a fact it's going to happen. I also know that you, during this year 2005, after this cat appears, like this woman was telling you, you are going to receive information that is going to take you to a place in the desert at night in your car and follow it through, because your greatest wish is going to happen in terms of being contacted. And when that contact is made, the information that you will be given will be the beginning of other people that will call in with messages. And may I suggest something tonight? Just instead of having people call in on the special line for physical contact, there are so many people that have messages to give through your station.
Well,
in regard,
you've done it, and if they have them, sir, they'll give them. And I listen, thank you for your contribution. I appreciate that, I think, though I'm not sure that I wish to be hauled out into the desert for a special meeting. I don't know what I'd do if that really happened. I have no idea. None. International Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art.
Hello.
I got two stories you can pick. One's an animal soul story, and the other one's a glitch in the timeline story.
Well, that's a hard choice, but I'll take the animal story.
Okay, I used to live back in London, Ontario. I'm in British Columbia now.
Uh-huh.
And my roommate had a bulldog, Brittany. Really cool dog.
Okay.
So, anyway, I ended up moving out west. I was out here for a few years. And one night I have this dream, and the dog's in a hallway or a tunnel. And at the end of the hallway, there's a door. And I'm in the hallway with the dog going, well, where's Dennis? Because, like, Dennis was the dog's owner. And the dog was kind of looking up at the door for me to open the door. So that's all I remember. So I wake up, and I phone back to Ontario. And I said, Dennis, I said, I had this really weird dream about your dog.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, you should be dreaming about chicks, not dreaming about my dog, right? But, so I go, I said, well, it was just weird. I thought I'd phone to see.
Yeah, that's a good response.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so I said, well, I was just concerned. It was awfully strange, right? It had been years. So he goes, well, my dog's in Windsor with my parents. Everything's cool. So I said, okay. So I go to work, come home, there's a message on the machine, phone Dennis.
Uh-huh.
So I call back, and he said Brittany had passed away that night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like 3,000 miles away, and it had been years since I'd even seen the dog. And the dog was in this transition, in this tunnel, at this door.
Oh, man, what are the odds?
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be such a severe event to happen to anybody. I mean, what does it now make you believe about the nature of death and everything else?
Well, I'm Christian. I believe in a soul and an afterlife and everything else.
Yeah, but I mean, here you were sent in a dream to help a dog into the afterlife.
I know. And that it happened with a cat, too. Well, it wasn't the same thing.
Doesn't traditional Christian belief hold that only human beings have souls at all to go anywhere, for that matter?
Well, we're the only ones with free will.
Well, yeah, but you met a dog on the other side, sir. That says a couple things here and there, right?
Oh, definitely. I believe we're everything, all things are connected, like every bit of energy, like quantum physics level.
Well,
whether it's a dog or a plant or it's all one thing.
All right, good enough. That's an interesting story to contemplate. He only had a dream, but in the dream, he was with the dog that was going through the door that had, in fact, died. Now, what does that say about us, about our abilities, about dogs and souls? A lot, I suppose. First time caller line, special line, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Hi. What is your first name?
Roy.
Roy.
Yep.
Roy, this line is for people who've had actual physical contact.
Absolutely. I spent 9 days with one from the 18th of June of 2003 until 26th of June in New Mexico. And I've been in contact with him ever since.
Give me your first name again, please.
Roy.
Roy. Okay, thank you, Roy.
I also knew Kenneth Arnold.
Well, just slow down. You spent from 18 June through 26 June with an alien. How did that come to pass?
Well, it isn't an alien. They're extraterrestrials. We want to change your technology. They've been here since Earth, before Earth was formed. So they're extraterrestrials. They're not aliens. The aliens are the humans. They were brought here by ships, just like the previous men that was on the ex-military said ships would come in and take those of us, certain ones, away from the planet. That's true. But the human race was brought here from other planets after the Earth was flooded and cleansed.
You sound really sure about this.
Absolutely. I've been involved for 70 years, long before you were born, Art. The whole thing has been a cover-up from the government right on down to your door.
How old are you now, Roy?
How old do I know?
No, how old are you now?
70 years old. And I got my first implant in 1940. I have 6 implants. And 3 of them are four of them are visible. The last one was put in on the 16th of August. by the ETs.
And
the
this began how early in your life, Roy?
Pardon?
How early in your life?
1940. I had an implant put in my brain, and I can see any object that they take a picture of with their ship anywhere in the universe in color, and I am totally blind normally. One of the fellows that crashed at Roswell on July the 7th of 1947 was supposed to heal my eyes. He was from the planet Atlantis, but he got mixed up with the reptoids, so he's no longer doing much healing.
That's quite a story.
It's very true.
I mean, you know, a lot of people, Roy, would be in doubt of a story like this.
I've got the documentation on my website, but I can't give websites. I've been giving worldwide broadcasts, and I've had them on with me. J-Rod is a brother to the one that I've been in contact with, which was very popular in the UFO magazine, the August issue, and I have spoken with him because he is no longer on Earth. He was very badly treated at Area 51 and other bases.
Yeah.
By the fellow that they don't know where he is. They used boiling liquid, they used hot electric prods on him, and all the technology that you're using right in your studio came right from Massetti since 1947.
Well, all right, Roy, thank you. Listen, I don't know what you say about these things. He sounds so sure of himself, doesn't he? It is reasonable to look at our technological advance as a civilization and look at about that year and then look at the giant leaps we began to take. I don't know what to think of Roy's story. As a 70-year-old man. I mean, it runs the gamut from the very youngest to the middle age to the older people. They all tell very similar, very sure stories. These people don't sound in doubt. It comes rolling off their tongue so easily. Sure, I guess you can sit back and say, well, you know, the world is full of a lot of crazy people. Or not. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
And to you. What is your first name?
Lynn.
Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lynn, where are you?
Northern California.
Northern California.
Santa Rosa.
Okay. What's up, hon?
Well, I wanted to call and let you know about an experience that happened about 25 years ago. I was coming home from work, and it was before the time change.
You're going to have to yell at me a little bit. You're not too strong.
Okay. It was before the time change, so it was daylight.
Right.
I had just gotten off work and going home. And I came around the corner at up in the Motherlode in Sonora on Turnback Creek, and there was two cars behind me.
Mm-hmm.
As I came around the corner, up over the waterfall, there was a craft hovering over the waterfall. And I slammed on my brakes and looked in the rearview mirror so they wouldn't hit me. And I could see the guy's mouth open. So far, I could see down his throat, and the craft was hanging out in front of us over the waterfall.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm seeing a UFO. And the other part of me said, no, you're not.
Real close up?
Real close up. It was maybe 100 yards away. And I thought, well, I wonder how they could see out of that ship. And the next thing I knew, I was inside.
The ship?
The ship. And I could see down below the waterfall and my car and the two cars that were stopped behind me.
Saying you could see right through the body of the ship?
I could see through the material. It was like translucent.
Yeah, all these stories sound so similar. You heard other callers, didn't you, previous to your call?
I heard one, the first lady.
And, well, then there was also the fellow who talked about, like, being able to see through things.
Oh.
So I guess it's fairly common.
Yeah, well, I could see out.
Remember the forest fire?
No, I didn't.
Remember the young lady who... Oh, you didn't hear that. All right, okay.
No.
She was also up and saw... Anyway.
Oh.
So well,
I saw the beings, and they were in the ship, and I could see the panel, the controls, and everything down below happening, and then I was feeling very at ease and very much peaceful and content.
Kind of like you'd had a Valium or something.
Yeah, major. And they were beautiful.
You know, I don't know what to say. I call for this kind of thing, and I get so much more than I bargain for. I mean, you sound like a pretty normal person to me otherwise.
I would hope so. It was an experience, though, that changed my life.
I would imagine it would change your life, yes, forever and ever and ever.
Forever and ever.
All right, what different beliefs or knowledge do you have as a result of the experience you had? You were in an alien craft. I mean, that's pretty unusual stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was. And I have to tell you, I got afraid all of a sudden. And when I did, I said, I don't want to leave my children. They're home.
The Valium wore off.
Yeah, well, I just all of a sudden remembered I had kids at home.
Yes.
And instantly I was back in my car.
Oh, really?
And then I watched the ship, and it just disappeared right in front of our eyes.
Do you remember any message, any communication? Was there any effort at communication?
It was all telepathic. It was like, don't be afraid. You know, just everything is fine. We're peaceful. And I was very much at ease, and I've never felt the peace like that ever in my life, except when I gave birth to my children.
I wonder what would have happened had you not expressed a mental desire to return.
I probably would have gone with them.
You think so?
Oh, I think so. I think if you have the choice, yes.
So when you hear other people telling stories like the one you're telling right now, stories that are so fantastic, I guess some of it resonates with you because of what you did, right?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that we have all kinds of entities that come into our Earth atmosphere around.
Did you hear the man who was talking about nuclear war a little while ago and about some of humanity being saved and some of the things that were coming?
No.
Maybe it's just as well.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have bought it.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, so you think all is they're here, but all is well.
Well, I don't necessarily think all is well. I just think they are here, and whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I only had a very good experience.
And then that's all you can tell. I really appreciate your call.
Okay.
Right, thank you very, very much. And, you know, these people really sound, I don't know, sincere, right? Every walk of life, you've heard from the young, the old, the middle-aged, and it just comes rattling right off. Not like it's being made up, not like anything except that it happened. So many of them. How can that be? Well, what it does do, though, is it makes me understand why the late John Mack and others have taken this all so seriously, and they really are taking it seriously. And how could they not? They must get stories like this and better. I mean, I'm just picking up calls at random here, right? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Barry from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hello, Barry.
How you doing?
Fine.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I was just curious, why do you or your listeners think the aliens would want to preserve the human DNA or the human race?
Pretty good question, isn't it?
Yes, sir, I think so.
If we were in the process of about to destroy ourselves and the planet we're on, why would we be worth preserving? Well, I guess one answer, Barry, might be for the same reason that, I don't know, we preserve what we can of animals that are now disappearing on the Earth, you know, mammals that are do become extinct. We're about to try and bring one back, by the way, that went extinct. I don't know, maybe for that reason, just because we're a cool specimen, I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. That's just like one answer. I mean, we're a specimen of intelligence, sort of, right?
Hope.
I don't know, that's my best answer.
Okay, could I make one more comment about the lady that was talking about the weather in Jersey?
You may.
There's a website on that shows a hot spot up there in the ocean.
Oh?
Just south of there is a cold spot. And apparently that, I don't know if it's a natural thing or if it's a recent occurrence, but I've never noticed it before.
I appreciate your call. The person who watches things like that is Stan Dale. I recall during the years he was in Australia, he did a great deal of monitoring of ocean temperatures and made a lot of calls based on that. And the ocean has a gigantic, overwhelming influence on our weather, no question. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir.
This is Bill calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Yes, Bill.
wanted to ask you a question that I don't think I have ever heard anyone ask you. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of reversibility?
No. No, but I'm listening. What does it mean?
Well, there's a new movie coming out with Michael Keaton. It's called White Noise.
Oh, I have seen the trailer, too. I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Back in the early 80s, when the phenomenon was going around that started from the old Beatles album of playing albums backwards.
Yes.
Where you could get subliminal messages.
Right.
I started doing a lot of research into the ancient doctrine of reversibility that is taught in the occult. Not for purposes of wanting to take part of it, but trying to find out what the heck was going on.
When you say reversibility, do you mean like as in the Beatles albums, reversing?
No, I'm talking about the ability to talk backwards, to write backwards, and to even project images in front of people subliminally without them noticing. And I was just wondered if you were curious with it, because I have discovered some unbelievable phenomenal things.
Do you possess the ability to talk backwards?
No, I don't possess the ability, but I did teach myself how to stand in front of a mirror and reverse my syllables. And I found out that a lot of these messages, I researched probably over 50 different albums, country, western, gospel, and rock and roll. And I found a phenomenon in all of them where it's not the words written backwards, it's the actual lyrical sound of the syllables when it's presented backwards. I stumbled on it accidentally by...
All right, listen, interesting enough, I'm on a break. Can you afford to hold?
Sure, you bet.
All right, actually it's on nickel, so yes, hold on. White Noise, it's coming.
You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime... Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear.